Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Digital Equipment Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you will need to press the one followed by the four on your push-button phone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Nikki Richardson. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you and good morning. This morning, our conference participants are Bob Palmer, President and CEO, Vin Mellarkey, Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, and Brad Allen, Director of Investor Relations. The format of the conference will be short presentations by Bob and Vin, followed by an open question-and-answer period in which Brad will participate as well. Our time is limited for this teleconference, so please limit yourself to one question plus a related follow-up question per polling. And now, with those logistics out of the way, I'll turn the conference over to Bob Palmer.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in. I'd like to take the opportunity to make a few comments and to highlight some achievements to help put today's news within a perspective of where digital has come from and where we're moving to. The fundamentals of our business are showing some positive and encouraging signs. We experienced order rate growth, year-over-year for the second quarter in a row. This is the first time in nearly 5 years. We saw strong growth in Alpha AXP systems, workstations, PCs, Unix, and storage products. And we're seeing some signs of growth or at least stabilization in most of our businesses around the world. However, our gross margins clearly are disappointing. If we'd merely achieved the gross margin that we had in the previous quarter, we would have had very different results on the operating line. We have to increase our focus on our pricing strategy and pricing discipline and on reducing the cost elements of gross margin. As I've said to you before, we're committed to restoring digital to profitability as soon as possible so that we can continue to earn the confidence of our customers, partners, and employees. This past fiscal year, we reduced our total population by more than 11,000, more than 9,000 of those reductions occurring in our fourth quarter just ended. 2 weeks ago, we announced steps in digital's continuing turnaround process that will streamline and simplify our organization. These changes will be implemented rapidly. Our customers will see us as increasingly flexible and efficient, and we will achieve a cost structure that reflects the realities of today's marketplace. Over the course of the past 21 months, we have made excellent progress in most of our businesses. We're taking the most successful business practices that were honed in the competitive PC, storage, and component segments of the business and applying them to our systems business unit. Within a year, the result will be a leaner and more agile company, sharply focused on meeting the needs of our customers, the demands of the marketplace, and the challenges of competitors. Our customers value digital's ability to provide what they're looking for in today's increasingly complex multi-vendor environment. Our ability to implement and support, directly and through partners, networked platforms and applications for client-server environments. And we can do that more quickly and more cost-effectively and in more countries around the world than anyone else. Despite the loss for the quarter and the fiscal year just ended, we have strong indications that we're on the right track. For example, Alpha AXP systems revenue grew 54% sequentially and 164% year over year. Alpha AXP systems now represent 31% of our systems revenue and surpassed VAX revenues in the quarter. Workstation revenues grew 34% year over year, and our Unix revenues were up 68% sequentially from the third quarter. And we've now shipped more than $1 billion worth of Alpha AXP systems since the program began. Our PC business nearly doubled in the quarter and now represents 39% of digital systems revenue. It was profitable in the quarter, and we achieved a run rate of approximately 1 million units per year. Our Asia-Pacific region continues to show strong growth, particularly in Japan and in Australia-New Zealand area. We saw improvement in the Americas, led by a slight growth in Canada and Latin America. This is the second quarter in a row of improvement in the Americas. And Europe is finally showing some signs of stabilizing. The company has made excellent progress in expanding its revenue mix from indirect channels. For the fiscal year 1994, 45% of product revenues moved through indirect channels. This is up from 33% in fiscal year 1993. As we fine-tune Digital's organization to match the realities of the market, we will continue to grow and expand our partnerships to serve the marketplace. Our goal is to move more than 60% of our products through channels by the end of fiscal year 1995. I'm happy to report that product availability issues that contributed to our third quarter results have largely been resolved, and we expect to continue to improve supply-demand management as we give more responsibility for P&L functions to the new business units. The demand for our new DEC 2100 server was also excellent. We're gratified that the demand substantially exceeded our own expectations, and we ramped up production significantly to meet much of that increased demand. Our outlook is still cautious for the near term, but optimistic for the second half of this fiscal year. We continue to be confident in our plans and with the impact of aggressive restructuring actions to be taken in the first half of this fiscal year. The positive momentum that I've just outlined also increases our confidence in an improved second half. I recognize that many of you have asked about and are very interested in what operations we will divest from. For understandable business reasons, I cannot list to you today what those operations might be, but I assure you that we will communicate the details of whatever decisions are made as soon as it makes sense for us to do so. Our portfolio strategy is to maintain those products and services that provide key added value for open, networked platforms and servers, or that put the digital logo in front of the user. I'll share three additional thoughts relative to our divestments. First, the previously announced agreement with Quantum relating to our storage business is the only major divestment activity that will have a significant impact on revenue as we currently see it. Second, since there has been a great deal of speculation about our systems integration business, let me clarify that we do not intend to sell this critical segment. This is a central component to the value that we deliver to our customers and which has established Digital as a market leader in systems integration. And third, we've received many questions about our semiconductor operations. We previously announced the partnership with AMD to improve our utilization of those facilities, and we will continue to look for ways to further improve our cost effectiveness of semiconductor operations. This is a Darwinian industry where only the most adaptable survive. We're taking the best and most successful business strategies honed in our competitive PC, storage, and component segments and applying them on a larger scale across our company. Within the year, the result will be a leaner and more agile company, sharply focused on meeting the needs of our customers, the demands of the marketplace, and the challenges of competitors. Let me now introduce Digital's Chief Financial Officer, Vin Mullarkey.
Thank you, Bob, and good morning. Our quarter four loss is disappointing. However, it is in line with our projections, and the quarter does include a number of positive developments. Among them are product revenue growth, significant population reductions, solid cash levels, and improvements in product supply. As Bob pointed out a few moments ago, the fundamentals of our business are clearly strengthening. Overall, our quarter four revenue held even with quarter four of fiscal 93. Without the unfavorable impact of currency, revenue growth would have been 2%. Bob covered the key elements of product revenues. So relative to service revenues, the decline was in our multi-vendor customer service business, which was resulting from lower maintenance fees associated with our more advanced products. The quarter four gross margin level of 30% declined by 10 points compared with quarter four of last fiscal year. This level is slightly below our expectations. Product margins fell to 25% in the quarter. This was driven by four elements: product mix, pricing, increased volume through indirect channels, and one-time expenses associated with plant closures. The product mix shift is a continuation of a trend that's been underway for some time towards our lower-end and lower-margin products. These are primarily personal computers, workstations, and our component products. Relative to pricing, we plan to continue with our successful strategy of offering to our customers industry leadership price performance. We do, however, need to improve on our internal disciplines relative to granting additional price concessions over and above these already competitive market prices. We have continued to expand our sales and distribution through value-added resellers, distributors, and OEMs. While these have lower gross margins, they also have lower selling and support costs, which will benefit the bottom line as we bring our expense structure in line. The product supply problems that we've experienced during the third quarter have been substantially resolved. Product lead times are now in line with our plans as well as industry norms. R&E and SG&A expenses reflect significant increases as reported. However, exclusive of the restructuring provisions, they improved by 3.6 percentage points on revenue versus the same quarter of last year. During quarter four, we got off to an excellent start in the next phase of restructuring with a population reduction of 9,200 employees. These reductions came late in the quarter and had limited effect on quarter four expenses. This quarter four population reduction is the largest decrease for a quarter in our history and will provide spending reductions of approximately $500 million next fiscal year. In fiscal year 95. The loss per share for quarter four is $12.64. The loss associated with operations is $1.22 per share when excluding the restructuring charges, the write-down to intangible assets, and the tax asset write-down. We're pleased that we ended the year with close to $1.2 billion in cash, notwithstanding the significant quarter four restructuring. This was primarily the result of increased focus and some improvements in both accounts receivables as well as inventories. The quarter four restructuring is in line with the levels that we announced 2 weeks ago at $1.2 billion. I also pointed out at that time that there would be $300 to $400 million of non-cash intangible assets. The final amount of that write-down is $380 million. It is our plan to fund these requirements through operations as follows. First, an improvement in accounts receivables, day sales outstanding, basically achieving the same level that we achieved in fiscal year 93. Second, an improvement in inventory turns, again, bringing the performance back to the levels that we had achieved in fiscal year 93. And finally, a reduction on the order of 40% in the company's capital spending. The programs to achieve these improvements are largely in place. These programs include a new business unit measurement and accountability system based on cash flow from operations. It is our intent to both fund the restructuring requirements and also position the company with a reasonable cash balance by the conclusion of this new fiscal year. Proceeds from divestments will further improve our cash position. Additionally, the company has positioned significant sources of liquidity for backup purposes. We will now take your questions.
Tina, would you please begin the polling now?
Yes, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. You will hear a three-toned prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your polling request, you may do so by pressing the 1 followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. One moment, please, for the first question. Terry Shannon, please state your company name followed by your question.
Good morning. This is Terry Shannon from Illuminata. I have a question for Bob Palmer. The question is regarding the Alpha installed base and Alpha shipments. It appears that Alpha is finally doing quite well. Your quarterly growth is excellent. Can you give us an indication of what the current Alpha installed base is and what your projections are for continued Alpha growth?
On the question around the install base is, I mentioned we've shipped over $1 billion. Most of that was in fiscal 94. The volumes that we shipped in fiscal 93, as you recall, relatively modest because we only introduced the first systems in November of that year. It's growing very rapidly, Terry, and you're quite right. As we continue to add higher performance systems and as we've upgraded our Unix where it's really quite leadership, I would guess, and again, it is just a guess, that we'd continue this 50% kind of growth rate that we've been seeing. So I'm very encouraged about it, and it's quite a bit more dramatic than the takeoff in the case of VAX, as we've discussed, when it was replacing our PDP family. So in any event, I think you're right. We've achieved some real recognition, and our Unix has become quite leadership, and so it's spurring our sales.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Wesley Melling, please state your company name followed by your question.
This is Wes Melling from Gartner Group. Could you give us a little more on how come SG&A went up over same quarter last year?
Yes, well, SG&A, of course, on the final formal reporting will include the restructuring reserve charge of $1.2 billion as well as the intangible charge of $310 million. Beyond that, there's a modest growth. Was your question relative to last year or relative to Q3?
It was quarter to quarter.
$30 million increase approximately, as I recall, over Q3.
Yeah, there was an 18% growth, which almost matched product growth.
something wrong with your numbers. That includes a $310 million that includes a $310 million intangible write-off that I referred to earlier. Actually, SG&A is down from quarter four of a year ago. Quarter four SG&A a year ago was $1,088,000,000, and this past quarter four, excluding the $310 million, is $982 million. Let me briefly mention that there's some fairly complicated accounting requirements associated with restructuring reserves and other like write-offs, and our statements as a result might be a little confusing this quarter.
Could we have the next question, Tina?
Thank you. Chris Wilson, please state your company name followed by your question. Chris Wilson, do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Palmer. You have said previously that the company intends to return to profitability by the end of calendar 1994. Some statements that you've made in today seem to indicate you may be pushing that date out. Is this still your goal by the end of 1994?
It is our objective. I don't know how you might have interpreted it differently, but again, it remains the same. Nothing has changed. It's a very aggressive goal. We believe in setting aggressive goals here at Digital. We need to do it. I've been quite clear stating that we intend to achieve profitability from operations by the end of the calendar year, and that is the objective. We've got a lot of people working very hard to achieve it. I concede that most of the analysts I read think that it will be unlikely to be achieved, but we remain dedicated to that goal. We don't make forecasts here, since it's quite unwise to do so, since we don't know the future. But it's quite clear that that is the objective, so there's no change there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Liz Galassi, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Elise, and it's Bloomberg Business News. Good morning. The question I have is a follow-up to Chris's. You indicated that you have quite a cautious outlook for the first half of 95 and a much more optimistic outlook for the second half. Are we to believe then you expect to be profitable throughout the second half of 95 and indeed for the full fiscal year 95?
Well, again, we don't make forecasts about these things, but our objective has been to achieve profitability and to maintain it once achieved. That is still a reasonable objective. The reason I've said that we're very cautious about the near-term outlook is clearly we have a major restructuring that was announced a week or two ago by Vin and myself and others. And that restructuring, we're going to accelerate as much as possible into the first half of this current fiscal year. That is going to be disruptive, and there's no way to avoid that. So let's get it behind us as quickly as possible. Once we've gotten that behind us, I think focusing on the more positive aspects of the business will result in better, clearly a better outlook.
Mm-hmm. But profitability for the full year?
We don't make a forecast, and I'm not going to make a forecast at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. John Wilkie, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Wall Street Journal. Good morning, Bob. You said that the Quantum sale is likely to be the only one that will significantly affect revenue. And I think I heard you say that you don't plan to sell the systems integration unit. And then you address the semiconductor operations. Can you walk through that with us one more time, please?
Surely. At this moment, the only thing that we think would have a significant impact on revenues was the sale of our storage heads, disks, tapes business to Quantum, which has already been reported. The other things that we're looking at have to do with increases in efficiency or modest impacts relative to revenues. In the case of the systems integration piece that you mentioned, Digital has been ranked by external analysts typically in the top four of systems integrators, and I believe that the maintaining that capability of both network integration services and systems integration is important for Digital to deliver on its core value proposition, which has to do, of course, with the implementation and support for heterogeneous networked computing, sometimes referred to as client server. We need that systems integration capability. And we are the envy, really, of many of our competitors because we have it and can provide it in roughly 100 countries across the world. So we're going to hang on to that, but that isn't to say that we won't look for opportunities to increase our efficiency there, as in most of our operations. With respect to semiconductor operations, as you know, we had entered into an agreement with Advanced Micro Devices that results in fully loading our South Queensferry semiconductor facility and thereby reducing its costs and making the burden of being in the semiconductor manufacturing business less burdensome to Digital. We are seeking similar or looking at similar alternatives with respect to our newest semiconductor facility. We don't have anything to announce today, but we have been in discussion with a number of semiconductor companies who might be willing to partner with Digital in one manner or another and thereby lower the cost of having that production capability. We will clearly retain the control of our architecture and access to alpha-based integrated circuits, which are, of course, essential to our high-performance alpha systems.
Would you consider the outright sale of Hudson, or would and then going to a MIPS sort of model with the alpha, or do you intend to hold on to Hudson?
I would consider, John, any reasonable business proposition that resulted in lower overall costs, but with continued guaranteed access to the integrated circuits that we need for our Alpha AXP systems. And so there are a lot of different schemes that could be devised to accomplish that goal.
And it is still true, sir, that you are not negotiating with a Japanese company?
There's no one negotiating with a Japanese company, to my knowledge, John. It's a big company, so I suppose that anything's possible here, but I don't know of any. We have talked with a number of domestic semiconductor companies that were interested in the capacity that that newest leadership facility represents. And as you know, when you build a semiconductor facility, you build a certain economic size, if you will, or footprint, and then it's some time before your business will grow enough to completely fill up that facility. In the interim, it's expensive. And so if we can find the right partner to utilize more of that underutilized capacity, that would lower our cost, and there's a lot of different schemes, and we are talking to several companies.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Joanna Bean, please state your company name followed by your question.
Joanna Bean from the Gazette Telegraph newspaper in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Wonder if you could address more your plans and the future of the multi-vendor customer services, where that all fits in.
Well, multi-vendor customer services is a critically important piece of Digital's value proposition. It's largely the benchmark in its industry, the business model that it operates with. Digital has developed the capability from remote diagnostics and services, as well as with our on-site services, that is the envy of most of our competitors. This business is experiencing margin pressures, as are most components in the computing industry, and we expect it to continue to do so. We are growing the business in terms of the multi-vendor side of it. That is, we are providing services to support hardware and software products of our competitors, in addition to our own hardware and software products. And we will continue to do that. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I'd be happy to take a follow-up if you have one.
I'm curious if the support centers are making money and what kind of restructuring or overhaul plans you might have for them.
They are making money, and the restructuring with respect to multi-vendor customer services is quite modest. We are always looking for opportunities to increase efficiencies, and, of course, we're always mindful of the importance of maintaining competitive costs in that business, but there are many new services that are out there that Digital can provide. Network integration services is one area that we're providing a lot of support from our multi-vendor customer services organization. So that organization will not be significantly impacted in this major restructuring that we announced a couple weeks ago. It'll be very modest puts and takes as far as multi-vendor is concerned.
Thank you. Steve Burke, please state your company name followed by your question.
Steve Burke, Computer Reseller News. Bob, based on the alpha run rate you see, how much excess capacity do you anticipate at that Hudson semiconductor fab?
It's difficult to quantify in the sense of even when you say it's excess, I mean, it's space that is known when you build it that won't be loaded. If you said, well, what percentage of that footprint would be necessary to support digital's integrated circuit capacity, something like that, it'd be half or less would be necessary. And that also is difficult to predict because, fortunately, your yields continue to improve the more learning cycles you have, and so it takes less and less footprint to make ever-increasing volumes of semiconductors, which is one reason, of course, that semiconductors tend to decline in cost over time.
Thank you. One follow-up. In terms of how you might structure a deal, Bob, would you consider, I guess you said you'd consider selling it outright. Is the proviso there that you guys would have an agreement that would give you at least 50% of the space for the next several years?
Well, I'm saying that I don't want to give you the impression that I'm actively trying to sell it, because that's not the case. I'm just saying that I'm willing to listen to a variety of proposals. I mean, some talk about someone would like to have us provide services for them, as we're doing in the case of Advanced Micro Devices. Other people might say, gee, I wonder if we could occupy some of that space with our own employees. Would that be feasible? You know, I'll listen to almost anything that has a positive impact on our company, but in no way can we risk, or will we risk, giving up access, secure access to integrated circuits necessary for digital systems, because that would be a very foolish trade-off. And so I don't want to mislead you there. I'm willing to listen to various deals, but we're not actively out trying to sell the whole facility there.
Right, Bob, what kind of time frame do you anticipate maybe closing some kind of deal?
I think this is a complex issue, and we want to make sure that we listen to all of the interested parties and we look at their deals, and I would think it takes several months before you'd work out something that would be consummated in an agreement.
Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Corson, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hello, Mr. Palmer. This is the Associated Press Radio Network in Washington. You mentioned how revenue was held back by the sliding value of the dollar. I was wondering how much of an impact that might have had just in terms of magnitude, and then I have a follow-up question, please.
The point was made that the revenue growth would have been on the order of 2% had it not been for the unfavorable impact of currencies during the quarter.
Is that Mr. Malachi speaking?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay, if I could ask Mr. Palmer, please, what steps Digital might take to urge either government intervention or some kind of support to correct that problem?
Digital worries about running its business, and we focus on our business. That's not properly an area of our involvement, frankly.
But, sir, when you're hamstrung, when your restructuring is hamstrung by the falling value of the dollar, it's certainly in your interest to urge something about it, isn't it?
I think that, frankly, the government has their agenda, things that they have to work on. I have personally, a focus on what we have to do within digital in terms of getting our costs in line. We need to focus on the real elements of cost within the company, and that's what we're putting our attention to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ian Springsteel, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, Ian Springsteel from CFO Magazine. I was curious about the business unit and cash flow management system, Mr. Malarkey. If you could expand upon that and tell us what that new system will hopefully do for management at the unit level.
Okay. First of all, it's the first time in our company's history where we have moved the responsibility for balance sheet management or asset management, as you call it, under the direct responsibility of the business unit managers. Up until now, the focus in our operating units around the world has been based on the operating statement, the profit and loss statement. Accountabilities of the business units will be on the asset side, accounts receivables, inventory, and all of the associated supply and demand management and planning, and obviously property, plant, and equipment. The company has taken steps to align or realign its manufacturing operations, which represent most of the assets, by business unit. There'll be two primary measures in the business unit structure. One is profit, and the other is cash flow. Each business unit manager, will be held accountable to achieve their budgets in that regard, and will be reviewed by the corporation's operations committee on a monthly basis, and will be recognized accordingly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Michael Knell, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, it's Mike Knell at the Boston Herald. I wonder, Mr. Palmer, if you could talk a little bit more about the 9,200 jobs that were eliminated during the quarter, perhaps giving us a little better idea of where they came from, both in terms of intra-company breakdown as well as geographical?
Well, we had approximately, if you look at the 9,000 people, approximately 6,000 were in sales and services, mostly in overhead and support functions for those on a worldwide basis. We had about 2,000 that had to do with manufacturing and logistics as a result of our continuing downsizing of those resources, and about 1,000 that support engineering, again, primarily in overhead and infrastructure. You'll notice that a couple weeks ago I was talking about the major cultural change in digital is the elimination of matrix management. And in doing that, a lot of interface and overhead jobs will go away. That was true in the quarter that was just ended, and that'll be true in the several quarters going forward. That's where most of that will come from. From a geographic basis, it was split roughly evenly between the United States and Europe. There was some modest downsizing in Asia Pacific, but most of it was in the U.S. and Europe.
Well, if I could just follow up, is that 1,000 job category that came out of engineering, does that account for the decline in engineering research and engineering spending, or was that taken too late in the quarter to have any impact?
It was too late in the quarter. Most of those departures occurred in the month of June, and we won't see that impact until this quarter as far as those expenses being out of engineering.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thomas Fahey, please state your company name followed by your question.
This is from the union leader in Manchester. I'm curious about what kind of contingency plans Digital is making regarding its PC business. It's nearly 40% of revenues. There are predictions of a big PC price war this fall and early 95. What plans are you making to protect that market share that you've gathered?
Well, first, let me correct a point that you made there. It's essentially 40% of systems revenues,
okay,
which is a further percentage, of course, of Digital's total revenue. But I want to make that clear, so it's 40%. Nonetheless, your thrust of your question is quite a good one in that you have to always, in the PC business, perhaps more so than other elements of the business, watch the inventories, watch the demands very carefully in terms of the potential for a slowdown and what that would mean to that business. Certainly, I'm in discussion with the PC business unit management about that, and we are watching it carefully. At this moment, for our products, we don't see that decline setting in, but it could, and so it's something you just have to watch. There's not any easy way out for these kinds of businesses where the growth rate is so dramatic, and you just have to pay a lot of attention to all elements of the business. In terms of our total revenue, though, exposure with respect to PCs, it's approximately 10% of our total revenues, a little bit larger than that, and it's growing rapidly. And it did achieve profitability in the fourth quarter, which is, I think, the first time in the company's history that our PC business has been profitable. So it's growing rapidly, has achieved profitability, but we are keeping a watchful eye on the market dynamics.
Sissy, and a follow-up question. In your computer system division, we have a lot of software development that goes on in New Hampshire. How much of the cuts in that division, roughly three-fourths of the planned 20,000 cuts, are going to be in that division? What portion of those will be in software development?
I don't think that that has been completely delineated at this point, but it's Enrico Pescatori's responsibility, and they're looking at that. I don't have the data at this point in front of me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mary Brandel, please state your company name followed by your question.
Yeah, hi, this is Mary Brandel from Computer World Newspaper. As a follow-up to the previous question, to Tom's question, when we talk about software development, you say that there will be no other sales that would increase revenue substantially, but would you include software sales as assets that would contribute heavily to revenue, and specifically RDB?
Well, there may be, as we look at our software portfolio and as we decide how we're going to deal with each of the major elements in that portfolio, there may be some sales that would result in changes in revenue, but they would not be of the magnitude that we're talking about relative to the sale of our storage components pieces to Quantum. With respect to any specific piece of software, I don't think it's appropriate to discuss it unless there's something to discuss. I mean, we have to have reached some agreement around a piece of software before we would discuss it. We have stated that it's important for digital strategy going forward, recognizing that there has been a disaggregation of this vertically integrated structure, that we not compete with our partners. And so we're looking for ways to ensure that our customers are served, which is our primary focus, and at the same time we reduce the competition that we have with the partners that we want to sell our platforms.
Okay, if I could ask a second question. How much of the alpha revenue was the technical workstations versus the servers? And also, can you give us numbers on the 2100 specifically?
Let's see. On the question relative to workstations, I think about three-quarters, roughly, were workstation revenues. And on the 2100, I know that the demand exceeded our estimates, but we shipped more than a couple thousand systems, as I recall. Of course, it's just been introduced, so that was quite a strong demand for that server. On the other hand, it's been very well received by the analysts in terms of its performance and price performance, so we're quite encouraged.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mike O'Connell, please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, I'm from the Lowell Sun up in Lowell, Massachusetts. Bob, is this restructuring charge going to do it for all of the pre-announced job cuts? And can you outline for people what the company's reserves are in terms of any future losses?
Well, as far as the restructuring reserve question, we believe that this restructuring reserve will be adequate to return digital to profitability and a competitive cost structure. With respect to the second question, I think I'll ask Vin to respond.
I heard the second question, but I didn't quite understand it. Could you try it again? When you say reserves relative to future...
Well, I guess it's more of a general question rather than a specific question. For people who see $6 billion worth of losses over the last 4 years, how would you answer the question that the company is not headed for serious financial trouble?
Well, I would first of all say that from an overall financial strength point of view, the best way to assess the strength of a company is through its balance sheet. And this company continues to have one of the strongest balance sheets in the country. In fact, it's ranked number 7 in the Fortune 50. In terms of the operating performance of the company moving forward, Bob Palmer has pointed out on a number of occasions that the company is targeting to achieve a level of profitability by the end of this calendar year. Of course, today in our release, you've had an opportunity to see many of the positive characteristics associated with this this development. Does that help?
Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Christensen, please state your company name followed by your question.
Hello, this is Chris Christensen from IDC. If it's possible, could you give us some trends concerning VAC sales and VMS sales, please?
Let's see if we can. Vin, do you have...
I don't have the data readily available, but I would say generally that the VAX sales in terms of its transition to Alpha AXP is moving along quite well. It's part of the company's strategy, of course, to transition the hardware platform associated with VAX over to the Alpha AXP platform, and that transition is well underway. It has been underway for over a year and is moving on or ahead of schedule. Relative to VMS sales, this past quarter has been one of our stronger quarters in quite some time. That's VMS, both sales operating on the VAX platform as well as the Alpha AXP platform. And finally, in terms of a trend, our Unix business is picked up considerably. Our growth in the most recent quarter ended, it was in excess of 80% on a sequential basis. And again, reflects the company's strong commitment to that operating system and the improved applications position, software application position that the company has developed over the last year.
Could you comment on the story that those revenues, the VAX VMS revenues, may be declining 30 to 40% annually?
They have certainly, the VAX, you need to differentiate here between VAX and VMS. The VAX hardware platform revenues have been declining at a rate similar to what you just described, and that anywhere in the 20 to 40% range, depending upon the quarter, over the last couple of years. The VMS sales, however, now VMS is an operating system, of course, operates both on the VAX hardware platform as well as the Alpha AXP platform. And as you may know, the company's strategy has been to introduce one of the industry's most advanced platforms that would support any one of three operating systems. So the customer makes an investment once in a hardware platform, that being Alpha AXP, and has the opportunity to operate VMS, Unix, or the NT operating system.
Thank you. Jonathan Yunus, please state your company name followed by your question.
Illuminata. Mr. Palmer, the discounting and pricing issues appear to be recurring. We saw that in the third quarter. We see it again. Can you help us understand how you're going to achieve more pricing discipline?
Yes, I think that we've already started to address that. After the end of the third quarter, with the change in management there and Enrico Pescatore taking on that responsibility, he instituted some stronger guidelines and controls, but we did not see the full impact of those in the current quarter because a lot of the quarter had already been booked by the time those were established. So I think that clearly we need to have a review of our overall pricing strategy, and one is underway within the Computer Systems Division led by Enrico, as well as on what are the guidelines with respect to the discounts and allowances that we're going to adhere to. Our company has unfortunately not had a history of discipline, as those of you that have followed us know, and we've left far too much discretion in the local territories around these subjects. It's our intention to instill some discipline and some control. So it's both review the pricing strategies overall. We, in fact, are offering leadership price price performance, but perhaps we're offering too much performance advantage at a given price than our competition. Need to look at it. The other issue is, of course, we need to work on the cost side of our gross margins, and we're working on that as well. So if you look at the overall opportunity for digital around gross margin, I think there is reason for optimism. By working on the pricing and discipline that you mentioned, as well as continuing to work on the cost side, we think that we have some opportunity to improve the results.
So this is basically something which you didn't really have enough time to fix.
That's correct, especially with respect to your question around discipline. But I think that Enrico has certainly got this high on his agenda of items to address.
Thank you.
Thank you. Frank Romano, please state your company name followed by your question.
This is Frank Romano with the Aberdeen Group. My question is that I assume that tightening up the pricing discipline will result in higher prices to the end user. Could you tell me what impact you anticipate the higher prices having on sales?
Well, not necessarily. I guess at one level, what we're talking about here is we have over the years trained our customer base to wait until the end of the quarter and extract the maximum possible discounts. And that, unfortunately, from time to time, not all of our salespeople, but from time to time, we have salespeople that didn't follow the guidelines. And from my perspective, we've got to retrain the customer base that that is not a successful business model going forward. And we will offer competitive costs, and in fact, we intend to continue to be leadership in terms of price performance. But at the same time, we cannot be discounting products to the point where we're selling them below cost or at, you know, very low, low margins. And so that's what I mean about pricing discipline. We have, for example, if you had a product that was nearing the end of its product life cycle, the amount of discount that might be appropriate to that product is quite different than a product that's just been announced with leadership price performance. Unfortunately, we've occasionally had instances where our people in the field didn't distinguish that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Nesdor, please state your company name followed by your question.
Digital News and Review. Paul Nesdor. Question for Bob regarding whether you expect any significant shift in revenues or margins with respect to the different geographic regions, Americas, Far East, Europe, and Latin America in fiscal 95.
At this moment, the trends look like they would remain intact. That is, the majority of growth being in the Asia-Pacific area seems to be the case. It's quite robust there. We're optimistic that Europe seems to be stabilizing, and we're hoping that they're finding a bottom and that the European economies will begin to improve. And in the U.S., we're making a little bit of progress as some early signs that there might be some improvement in the Americas, as I mentioned. So I would say a continuation of current trends would be all that I could identify at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Wilson, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, this is Lori Villegro from Reuters, and I have 2 points of clarification. One is, what is the total systems business? And do you want to answer that one first?
The total systems business in the company is approximately $4 billion.
Okay, and the second, for Mr. Palmer, this is just a clarification on your comments about the Hudson factory. You said that while you're not out to actively sell it, you're considering a variety of proposals, and this is a little confusing. If somebody does offer to buy it, will you sell it, and is this what you were alluding to when you were talking about a deal to be made over the next several months?
Well, if someone made a legitimate offer to purchase the facilities, I would, in my job function, consider it, but this is not under any active consideration at this time. You'd certainly have to weigh a lot of factors, and as I said, perhaps people are putting too much weight in this discussion, but I'm saying I would be willing to listen, but we have to maintain access, and we would maintain access to our integrated circuits that are required for our Alpha AXP systems. But I wouldn't want to say that under no circumstances would I consider a sale, because clearly there are some circumstances, but this is not any...